Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and every Thursday at about this time, Janice Gilley, who is the Escambia County Administrator, she joins us for a conversation. Janice, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, always good to have you. So one of the things that we learned this week at the City Council Agenda Review Session for Pensacola was Greg Strader from Brace talked a lot about hurricane preparation in the COVID-19 era, which one of the main takeaways from that is you're going to have reduced volunteers because of age and health conditions. You're going to have reduced capacity at any of the congregate shelters because of square footage requirements being imposed on them due to social distancing, the possibility of using hotel rooms and dorms, and maybe you should just go to a friend's house instead, and trying to think ahead about how to properly prepare for hurricane season, which is coming soon when we have all of these various restrictions and guidances in place. What's the county doing in this regard?
So we're actively engaging in a campaign to make sure that our citizens, you know their zone. Do you live in a hurricane evacuation zone? That's key to whether or not you will be required to evacuate. Then we also want you to know your home. If you are not necessarily in an evacuation zone, your home may be the safest place for you instead of trying to go to a shelter. And then, as you mentioned, third, we're going to really focus on asking you to, confirm a plan with your family and friends before the storm even, gets in the Gulf. I think that I've had the opportunity to shelter with family and friends in the past, and it's, a great opportunity to connect with folks, but then also to have folks there to kind of take care of each other post-storm activity. So we would just really encourage folks to just come up with alternative plans in this new, COVID environment that we're going to all be in. I agree with everything that you said that Greg presented. As we know, just I think volunteers in general are kind of waning in most areas of community service in our community. And so it would be important for us to just, like I said, have those other alternatives for folks.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting problem, right? Because the way we are all thinking about staying at home right now, where we have running water and functioning electricity and, entertainment and everything else on an ongoing kind of basis, although, Florida is much less restrictive than other places, but still, we've all had to do this to a degree. That is a very different scenario from thinking about a no power, no water, how do you take care of yourself for those first 72 hours in case there's a storm? And then, which everybody needs to prepare for, and we want to make sure people are prepared for that as we head into the season, right?
Yes, sir. And that we do have that hurricane tax holiday starting tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So that we would ask, make sure folks go out and, have your list of items, batteries, generators, ice cool packs. I mean, there's a whole list that you can find of items that are going to be tax-free over the next couple of days. And so go on and prepare and get those things for you and your family. The first 72 on you is also an important key message. And the reason is because if there is widespread damage, as there was in a place like we had for Ivan or like Michael over in Bay County, it could take a couple of days for people to get to you. And so to the extent that you don't have a lot of damage at your own home, being able to take care of yourself those first 72 hours are going to be key to the community in general.
Absolutely. Has the county been looking at talking with, UWF, hotels, thinking about this possibility of turning, roomed facilities instead of large congregate shelters into a resource?
I know that Eric Gilmore and his team have been focusing on, what does it look like post-COVID for a sheltering. I have not actually gotten a list of all the facilities that they've discussed with, but I do know that in the past we've had those conversations, particularly like the field house at UWF. And I know that we've had conversations regarding residence halls at the university for whether it was housing, workers that come in to help out with the recovery efforts and things like that. So I haven't had necessarily a conversation with them about the specific facilities for sheltering, but I do know that in the past those facilities have had conversations with them. Same as hotels.
Right. Very good. The speaking of UWF, although it's not really fair, I keep thinking it's not fair to mention UWF about this story because it just happens to be on their lot. It's not really their operation. But we had some of these issues with the test results. not coming back quickly. Do you have clarity on whether those results, because I was reading the Department of Health release that Laura Cole, your public information officer, sent over the other day, and it's still not clear to me, were those test results damaged, lost? Some of them were, some of them weren't, were still delayed. Do you know the status of the UWF testing? I know that's not your like area of responsibility, but do you happen to know?
I do not have the details on that in particular.
Okay.
I would say this, though. I do feel bad for anyone that, that had to go through that, you know, test, and now they have the unsure, you know, they're unsure as to the status of their test results. I know that that's probably adding stress, and so I do feel, I feel bad for those folks, but I also feel bad for the people that are out there putting themselves in jeopardy by taking these tests for us, you know? So now they're going to be taking the test again. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation on both sides for the people that are taking the test and the people that are, you know, administering the test.
Absolutely.
So I just hope for a good, you know, I guess a good outcome in that, and that people will be able to be retested, and hopefully they'll get the answers they need.
Boy, the way you mentioned that too, it's such a, it's been such a transformation in the way I think about essential workers recently. I don't know about you, but you know, I think about like when I touch a thing that somebody else here at work has touched, I'm like, all right, hand sanitizer, clean it off, even though the surfaces are a low transmission vector. But then you start to think about like, you know, the garbage hauler or the, you know, the code enforcement person or the, you know, the grocery store worker, like people who are all day long, you know, at risk in ways that I would not personally appreciate, but they are all day long. You know, and a lot of folks who work for the county are in that position, right?
Yes, sir. We even have, you know, folks that help with, you know, housing rehabilitation, you know, our community redevelopment agency folks, our folks that manage our SHIP programs and our HUD programs. I mean, they have to go in and inspect a house to determine what, how the government, how the county can help them repair and maintain, you know, the home that they're living in. And so we have people all over the county that are still continuing to provide services. They have modified the way that they provide those services, but those are essential functions just to keep us in a safe, healthy, you know, community.
Yeah.
And so I cannot express how thankful I am for the employees that we have and the job that they have continued to do, quite frankly, without complaint. I mean, I have been, it has been amazing, the response from our employees and what they've done over the past, you know, 2.5 months in regard to this particular crisis.
And granted, we are a fairly low infection percentage rate here in Escambia County, but still, it doesn't matter. It's still, you know, everybody's got this on their mind. Janice, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is there's an upcoming meeting about the Perdido Key Drive Johnson Road intersection redesign that I guess, I guess this is going to be a roundabout, right? Is that kind of the ultimate plan at the moment?
Well, no, actually, what the commissioner and what the engineering department are asking is they're asking the public to actually participate prior to creating any final plans. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold a public workshop. There will be a formal presentation by our traffic and engineering folks. There will be an opportunity, you know, how you go around open house style and you look at potential designs. So there will be a couple of different designs for folks to look at, and then the public will have an opportunity for comment and then also voting on the preferred intersection improvements. And, you know, this is all precipitated by the fact that we'll be having the new multi-use path on Perdido Key. We want to make sure that it's safe for folks that are using a multi-use path to get across Perdido Key Drive onto Johnson Beach so that we have a continuous opportunity for folks to, you know, ride bikes, walk, jog, you know, all the different things that you would do up and down the island there. And so we would really encourage folks to come out. It's on Thursday, June 11th, and it's at 5:30 to 7 at the Lost Key Golf Club. And so, like I said, we're trying very hard to get input on the front end before we've spent a lot of money on plans. We'd just like the community to really be involved and engaged in that conversation.
That's great. Good charretting is what that is. I like that idea. And just as a side note, the county is also now enforcing the no parking on the street on Perdido Key Drive now that it is your street that you own. So people that used to want to park there and go across to the public beach accesses, yeah, you can't do that anymore. You got to park at one of the approved parking lots, so which is appropriate. I mean, definitely an appropriate thing. Now, I am a little bit, this is interesting because you're somebody who likes to ask back a question. And you have warned me, that, and which I like. I think it's interesting. You're the only guest that's ever even asked for this. So you said you had a question you wanted to ask me?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if you noticed Governor DeSantis appointments to the Supreme Court this week, but one of them is Jamaican American, Renetha Francis. And I didn't know if you had any opinions about that, because I thought his announcement was very interesting related to her.
You know, I thought it was interesting that he featured that as her background first ever in probably the whole country, but certainly in the state of Florida. I just think she is amazing. When I listen to her talk and the way she interacts with her kids and everything else and her background, owning she operated a bar and also a trucking company while she was studying the law around being a single mom and also at the time and also at least taking care of a younger sibling.
Caregiver.
So, yeah, I thought it's a pretty impressive story. I mean, I really liked it. So your question is, what do I think of him focusing on her ethnicity and her background?
Yeah, and her faith. I thought that was another interesting piece of what he said.
I you know, I'm not a big believer in counting skin color and gender when you talk about appointments, but I think the value of it is so often, from his point of view, politically, the other side complains about the kind of, you know, whoever you appoint, they got to be bad. And he's like, hey, this would be an ideal candidate. He didn't say this, but I think the point is this candidate would be like cheered and celebrated by all of y'all if she weren't being put up by a Republican. So here, take it. I kind of like that approach.
Yeah,
honestly.
I thought it was. Yeah, yeah. I just thought it was a very interesting choice. And I just, the way that he presented it too, I just thought you would find it interesting as well.
No, I did. And so, I thought
but
it
anyway.
Was really hard to follow her act. I thought the other guy.
I know.
You know,
I know.
Yeah, I'm here too. So, okay, I got to go. Thanks for the appointment. It's kind of a funny moment.
Yeah.
Well, Janice Gilley.
Listen, I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you too. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Thanks for the time.
You too. Bye-bye.